Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth, and I'm trying to record at a higher volume for some of you listeners out there. I am looking outside, and in real time, it's around February 8th, and it's Snowmageddon today. Snow Armageddon. It's the blizzard of 2013. Panic. Run for your lives. Well, I don't know how many days we'll be without power, but I've got power here at the church. NoCo Radio always has power, brother. I was at the dentist today getting a crown. Crowning with many crowns. That's before I got the bill. And I watched about 15 minutes of the news before the storm. Whatever station it was, CBS or something, local Boston station. I usually don't watch those shows, and I don't have TV because it's ungodly and all that stuff. No, I just, I'd rather spend my money on something else besides cable. And I'm telling you, the snow hadn't really even started, and I watched for those 15 minutes, and I was in a panic because everything is fear, fear, fear. I know fear sells. I know greed sells. I know sex sells. But I mean, I just was saying to myself, no wonder people are in such a panic, a run on ATMs, a run on gas. And maybe now when I hear this, when it plays in April sometime in spring-like weather here in New England, do we have spring? Then I'll eat my words. But for now, I mean, please, fear, 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 fear. I just got back from California with the wonderful folks at Church of the Cross in Pine Grove, and there was a storm there too, a sunstorm. I couldn't believe it. It was middle of it was the first few days of February in Santa Cruz, and it was sunny. I got a little sunburn, the sunburn. And that was really nice. One of my favorite writer-inners, one of my favorite folks that corresponds with me on a regular basis in No Compromise Radio is Roger Patterson. And you might remember Roger from being a guest on No Compromise Radio. And he works for Answers in Genesis. And, you know, I should probably replay his interview because that was such a good interview. And here's what Roger says in on his email, January 31st. Because some of you think I only read emailers who don't like what I say. Mike, all the animatronic dinosaurs, animatronic, that's what it says, dinosaurs at the Creation Museum said to say hello. They love listening to NoCo piped in through the overhead speakers after all the guests leave. Now that is awesome. So now included in No Compromise Listenerville, we have the animatronic dinosaurs at the Creation Museum. I want to insert some T-Rex screech right now or something. Were T-Rexes real? Velociraptors or something, were they real? I know the dinosaur initially called the Nebraska Man. Wasn't a dinosaur, it wasn't a pig, it wasn't a man. No, that's a pig dude. Okay, Roger can correct me on that one. So, glad to have those dinosaurs listening to No Compromise Radio. You know, it's one thing to have a fossilized dinosaur. It's another thing to have a Calvinistic dinosaur, reformed dinosaur. Now, some people think Calvinists are fossilized, and so we try to make sure that you don't agree with that. Staid, stoic, nasty, mean, dour, uncouth people called Calvinist. I have many goals on No Compromise Radio. And one of those goals, it's not the top of the list, but one of those goals, always biblical, always provocative, always in that order, always happy Calvinism. Can't we laugh? Can I sit here and look at all the people going through Snowmageddon outside and just have a little laugh? Well, of course we can. All right. What evil lurks in the brain? German neurologist says he's found a dark patch. FoxNews.com, Jeremy Kaplan reporting, published February 7th, 2013. After studying the brains of violent killers, rapists, and robbers, German neurologist Gerhard Roth, Abendroth, red, his last name means red, claims to have found a dark patch. This sounds like some bad movie. In the center of the brain. Driving home from Pine Grove, California, I think I drove through a dark patch of woods there by Comanche Lake, I think. I didn't know that was a man-made lake. He calls it the evil spot, a genetic source of violent behavior. Roth, a professor at the University of Bremen, told German news site Bild.de, that's for Germany, that he had shown short films to criminals and measured their brain activity. A small section at the front of their brain showed no reaction to violent scenes. It remained dark when shown dark scenes. Whenever there were brutal and squalid scenes, I haven't seen the word squalid for quite some time, the subject showed no emotions. In the areas of the brain where we create compassion and sorrow, nothing happened, Roth said. BioEdge, a blog dedicated to bioethics, said this is definitely the region of the brain where evil is formed and where it lurks. Isn't that interesting? Where evil lurks in the brain. Now, I have a variety of comments. One, I thought people were good. Don't people, psychological people, say that they're good? Oh, maybe they're influenced by their environment, or maybe they're influenced by, I don't know, Fox News. What happened to the good people out there? This is for all the lonely people? No, this is for all the good people. Evil lurks in the brain. Well, one thing I do know, I know that the brain has been affected by the fall. Don't you know that? Remember what Paul says in the book of Romans? Remember, friends, if you ever are stumped by a societal problem or you don't know how to answer a certain question on an ordination exam, just go to Romans 1. Romans 1 or Romans 5. Romans 5. It's got it all. It says in the passage, Romans chapter 1, let's go to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And so men are suppressing the truth, and God's wrath is revealed. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, not just there was a God, but they know God creates these things, Roger will like this, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Now, let me just stop there. There's a comma in the text. When God displays his greatness through creation, when God puts on display his powerful attributes and his greatness in the world, in natural revelation, in what we see, there should be a response to that. The God-ordained response, what he's looking for is honor and thanksgiving. When we see him do these great things in nature, we are to say to ourselves, wow, we should be thankful. We should honor God. Isn't God great? Isn't he awesome? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And when the response to his natural revelation is not honor and thanksgiving, look what Romans 1 says. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And here comes the slide, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel, chapter 1, verse 17 of Romans. And then his wrath is revealed, this wrath of God, retributive wrath of God. It's not just God lets everything go their own way. This is an active thing that God does. And part of this is just shutting down the mind, and then immorality is everywhere. You can see that God is judging America because these things are happening. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. Because if you are not seen fit to acknowledge God, then God gives you up to a mind that will then have you do strange and bad things with your body. And so today on No Compromise Radio, I find it interesting that people realize, at least some German neurologists realize, that people are wicked, are evil. They just don't know how to explain it. And we know that it was all going back to the garden. Adam sinned, and in Adam we all sinned. Remember the old New England prima? In Adam's sin, we fell all. It's hard to remember things today after getting a crown. It's Blizzard Armageddon here, Snowmageddon. It's hard. Let's see. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. Hey, there you go. I'm not from New England, but at least I've got the primer down. The only other one I have memorized. Let's see if I can remember it. X, Xerxes died, and so must you and I. That's not quite right either. Xerxes must die. Xerxes died, and so must you and I. Something like that. I don't know. How can I know these things? I don't have these notes. You should see in front of me today, I don't have many notes because it's the Snowmageddon. And so I have to quick come in here and record a few shows because the masses and the dinosaurs are always asking for more. What else do I have here in front of me today? I have this on No Compromise Radio. Don't forget NoCo 90. Type into YouTube No Compromise 90 because, believe it or not, NoCo 90 was already taken. Now, how does that work? NoCo 90, 90 seconds of me pontificating. That was a heavier set me because I am on the MyFitnessPal app for 900 net calories a day. And so I have to get on the treadmill, or I have to get on the bike or something like that. And then I earn 1,000 calories, and then that gives me 1,900 for the day net. So then I can actually eat. And by the way, I used to live off of protein bars, basically. And those are like little mini meals, 290 calories for a protein bar. You can't do that. You can't do that because you can't eat much. And so it's a lot of celery. It's a lot of lean cuisine, that's for sure. Lean cuisine is only 250-ish. And then you're going to have a protein bar, some space bar. Remember space bars? Okay, top 10 worst Bible passages. A list of the top 10 worst Bible verses has been drawn up, and this is on the news. I don't know whose news is this. I can't tell. It doesn't matter. You just type in top 10 worst Bible passages. And so you can imagine that there are a lot of people who are unbelievers who look at the Bible, and then they look for things in the Bible so they can then justify the way they live, right? So you have to get rid of authority. And so hearkening back to our earlier conversation, when you believe in evolution, it's hard to honor evolution since evolution is a concept. And it's hard to give thanks to evolution because evolution is a concept. And so how do you do that in an abstract way? Give thanks to, I don't know what you give thanks to. You're just thankful? I'm just a thankful person. A thankfulness has an object, and that object must be the Lord. Well, another way you can live the way you'd like, living like a sinful person and not thinking the Damocles sword is going to come and get you anytime soon, you attack the Bible because you don't want any authority. You don't want government authority. You don't want police authority. You don't want secular authority. There can't be any authority because then if you disobey that authority, your conscience is going to get you. And so these people go to the Bible with the sole intention of saying, look at how bad it is. Well, here's what is interesting. Not that they called it chapter and verse, W-O-R-S-E, Not that they called it that. I mean, I get it. I get what unbelievers do. I was one for a long time. I have a little hint here on No Compromise Radio for all you listeners. Unbelievers, you might want to write this down, act like unbelievers. Yeah, that's right. Unbelievers act like unbelievers. And that should not make us surprised one bit. And so at the top of the list, that's the thing that to me is the most interesting, the most surprising. It isn't the passage about homosexuality. It isn't the passage about killing witches that's on here. That's number three, Moses' call to kill witches. Do not allow a sorceress to live. That they think that's somehow some wicked thing in Mosaic theonomy. Oh, but at the top of the list, it's not homosexuality in Romans chapter 1, although that's on the list. It's not Abraham's call to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice in Genesis chapter 22. It's not slave submit to your masters in 1 Peter chapter 2. It isn't even the book of Judges, where we've got the man who sends out his concubine to placate the men. It is not the book of Judges where Jephthah makes a rash vow in Judges 11. It is not wives submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. What do you think is at the top of the list? Here it is, at the top of the list on people's most hated Bible verses, chapter and verse. Any guesses? I know it's only a 24 and a half minute show, so I can't stall any longer. Well, it's not this one. It's not go strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey, 1 Samuel 15. It's not that. I'm most surprised that it's not the homosexual passages in Romans chapter 1 and the other New Testament passages. So here it is. Ready? Snowmageddon drum roll. How would I make that sound? I do not permit a woman to teach or have or to exercise authority over a man. She must be silent. 1 Timothy 2:12. At the top of the list, I don't permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. That's just surprising to me. That is surprising to me. And I guess it shouldn't be, because I live in the land of egalitarianism. That's the world I live in. And that is right close to Gordon Conwell Seminary in, what's the name of that city? Peabody? No, they're up there someplace, though. Foxborough? No, that's the Patriots. Where is Gordon Conwell? I don't know. It starts with a B or something. Who knows? Doesn't matter. I'm sure there's some good people up there. That's what you say before you blast them. I'm sure there's some fine Christian people. Actually, I liked it when David Wells was teaching there. I don't know if David Wells is a egalitarian. I think he's a complementarian, but I don't know. I haven't asked him. But anyway, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. Well, what does the text say? The text says, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Of course, we know this is in the local church context. How do you conduct yourself in a local church? 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. And then it gives a reason. Oh, it gives two reasons. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, creation order. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. And so reason one, creation order, that's before the fall, by the way, because people say, oh, the fall messed everything up. Well, it did, but it didn't mess up the roles. The roles were already established before. But the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. And so the bad news, Adam knew what he was doing when he sinned. So that makes it even worse. And he was our federal head. But Eve was deceived. And so because of the fall, because of deception, that men are supposed to be leaders in the local church. Are men better? No. Men aren't any better. Many times women are more spiritual, are more godly, but that still doesn't matter. The feministic lie is submission is inequality. If there's any submission at all, there is inequality. And that's a big old fat lie, because 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 and following, talk about how Jesus Christ, well, let's use the Son language, even prior to the incarnation, the eternal second person of the Trinity, the Son, submits to the Father. He's still co-equal. He still has the same nature and essence, but he gladly submits. Why? Because that's just the way the universe runs. And so getting back to the Beth Moore issue, I did that NoCo 90 on Beth Moore. Where's Beth Moore's husband? Now, if the elders want to let her sin by preaching to men on Sunday nights and other times, and if she wants to sin by preaching to men on Sunday nights and other times, and who knows where else, Passion and Lou Giglio's church, what was Lou Giglio thinking? He's not thinking. I think the numbers have gone to his head. The exposure has gone to his head. But anyway, back on track. Where is Beth Moore's husband? He should be telling her, honey, you have a platform, you have a lot of people listening to you, and this is mysticism aside, you ought not to be doing that. Where is he? You pull up Beth Moore's husband on the YouTube, and you'll see an interview, and she dominates that too. And he just sits over there and just takes it because she is the figurehead. She runs the show. And does he run the show behind the scenes? I don't know. I hope he does. That's not my point. Wayne Grudem's right. Wayne Grudem said, I guess it's okay for you to sin by speaking to men if you're a woman, as long as your elders let you, or how about in this case, your husband lets you. You watch the responses when you say Beth Moore ought not to be teaching men. Oh, she's a mighty man, a woman of valor. She's gifted. Well, she thinks Roman Catholics who don't believe in the real gospel are our brothers and sisters as well. She doesn't have any clue. And so where is her husband? But back to this again, chapter and verse. You want to cause a fight with people now? You put your finger in the eye of this verse, and people wig out. Very, very fascinating. All right, what else do we have here? No Compromise Radio. Well, Chris Teagle at Church of the Pine, Church of the Cross at Pine, gave me a New Testament. It's called a little book. It's called Jesus for the Win. It's the Gospel of John. Jesus for the Win, and it's got a picture of Jesus on the cover with a game controller. A little book, it says on the bottom, about a guy named Jesus, his guild, and his ultimate quest to save a land known as Earth. And on the back it says, what if everything you knew about church was wrong? Get that picture of church in your mind, the pews, the choirs, the pancake makeup. None of that matters. It's not about soccer moms, penny loafers, and hymnals. It's not about blue hair, sweater vests, and emptying your wallet. Notice the subtle attack against the aged, against men and women who have wisdom, against men and women who are supposed to be leaders of the church. Specifically, I'm thinking here about the men as elders. It's all about Jesus. It's simple. Stick Jesus in the 21st century and he won't be at the coffee bar at Nordstrom's or letting his hair fly back at convertible Benz as he rolls down Rodeo Drive. He'd be at the docks playing dominoes with the longshoremen. He'd be in a bar shooting pool or throwing darts, talking to the barflies and hookers. Church isn't just that nuclear family sitting in the front row of that big building in the burbs. It can be a room full of gamers talking about fragging our Tuesday's epic raid. Church is about people, any and all, and how Jesus' story brings them together. And that story's in your hands, stripped down, straightforward, and waiting for you to see what church and Jesus are really about. What a farce. What a infantile, immature, stupid thing when I open it up and says, what the expletive is game church. The next major page, how we've screwed it all up. And then it's got a strategy guide. And then I've got a sticker too, Jesus Gamers, gamechurch.com. I mean, the only good thing in this entire deal is it's got the Net Bible. So if you read it, you could actually learn about the book of Jesus. But you've got, I mean, the learn about the real Jesus. But it's got all this other shenanigans. Game church, let's slam old people. Let's slam men's roles, women's roles. See how the church is attacked? There are three restraining systems in this world. One is the government. See how it's attacked. One is the family. See how it's attacked. And the other is the church. See how it's attacked. So my name is Mike Abendroth. Today is Snowmageddon, and you can reach me at info@nocompromiseradio.com or go to NoCompromise90 for NoCo90 there on YouTube. And you can expect by the time this is out to look at No Compromise Ever Part 2.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.